separated families.
Blog Talk Radio.
Every separated family is really put back there. Smart
Sound.
Good evening and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over at Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing?
I can't complain, Don, as we come into our new studio, if you will. Our excellent beaches and et cetera. I noticed you probably posted a little bit. We continue to welcome our worldwide audience. So, God, Don, a lot of things happening. We'll be with our listening audience for an hour, right? And so the political thing seems to be extremely big. Everybody seems to be running for, attorney general, governor, but all these folks now running for the county commissioners, and then there's some fall off because the state representative is going to give up her seat because she's going to run for that particular office, if you will. We also got some pretty hateful materials coming out about some of our new black businesses that just opened along Lake Calhoun, if you will. You've got some information in background. I know you've talked to Dr. King, and see what he has to say about that. We're also trying to reach out to our Alex Tittle and that group, if you will. So we got a lot of things going, Donald. We got a lot of things.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm looking. I was watching my phone. I went and got one of the fancy iPhone 10 or X or whatever you want to call it, and it has news feed that pops up on a regular basis. And I see this Ilhan Omar, is going to run for Keith Ellison's seat, 5th Congressional District. And Congressman Ellison is running for Attorney General, Minnesota Attorney General. And I wrote on my Facebook page that, it's kind of ironic that the Minnesota DFL can organize this well, and it's going to be a juggernaut for the Republicans because they don't have anything in Minnesota to answer that. And so I'm looking around, talking to people, I'm asking them, I'm saying, hey, how is it that these guys can play the cakewalk with you and you can't get anybody now in anywhere? What's the problem? And they have yet to answer me, Mr. Edwards, and this is the Republican Party of Minnesota I'm talking about. So, but yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, let's explore this because when all these people run, I see that Natalie Johnson Lee is coming out of retirement. I see she's running for the county board. She has an old public office in 15 years.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got all kinds of stuff happening in regards to our police department. And boy, there's some funny stuff going on down there, but we'll get to that probably in the second half hour because there's just so much going. But you've reached out to both Dr. King and to Dr. Tuttle?
Tuttle, you sent a message to. He is the I just had a story up right here until I erased it because there was something in here I wanted to be specific about and correct about. But, on June 4th, it was released in the Star Tribune that Hennepin County hires director to reduce racial and other disparities. And I read that headline. I read this headline in the Star Tribune. And I says, wait. You're gonna hire a director to reduce racial and other disparities? And I'm like, wait a minute. What are the people at Hennepin County who've been working there the last 20 years doing? Every piece of information I've ever read from Hennepin County, their main mission was to reduce racial and other disparities. So what happened? Why is this important now? Why is this just a placeholder position?
or payback?
No, that's a doggone good question. That's a question that certainly needs to be asked. And of course, give us a phone. Give the phone line number out there now. Anybody want to call in? Go ahead.
Sure.
Basically, everybody's watching the basketball game.
Yeah, that phone number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. But I'm looking at this article, Mr. Edwards, and it goes through his Army history, his history with Summit Academy OIC, and here is it. Tittle's track record brings instant credibility to the new job. In the construction of the $1.1 billion U.S. bank stadium, he helped exceed the goal of 32% minority work participation by 5%. For the Super Bowl, he signed.
Yeah, he employed over 3,000 Negroes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, according to the, when you talk about the number, 7,500 allegedly worked on the quote-unquote People Stadium. And he and the guy that's the Commissioner of Human Rights said they exceeded 36%.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, wow. I mean, I don't see any – I don't know if you see any, Mr. Edwards, but any for wealth in the community, especially North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis, where a lot of people of color live in those particular zip codes. I don't see any extra equity behind the stadium or for the Super Bowl. Because, you know, Mr. Edwards, last year they were telling us that the Super Bowl is going to bring all this money into this community. And these people, you know, they're going to be jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be all
mm-hmm.
this money.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the people that came here left with their money. Which makes
By and large, the Star Tribune had a story last week saying the final alleged count is $345 million came into, quote-unquote, Minnesota, $345 million. And, you know, we had asked Mr. Tittle and others where the actual documentation was that would show the payout, et cetera. And we certainly were asking Senator Bobby Jill Champion, who is now a contender for the 5th congressional seat in Minnesota, being vacated by Keith Ellison, who wants to become the attorney general of the state of Minnesota, and I guess began to sue Donald Trump, because that's the only way he's going to make a name for himself. You know, I'd like to hear from these individuals who have provided such economic sustenance, if you will, economic prosperity, and et cetera, to the African-American community. And then in the meanwhile, there's friction because people are saying that the Somali community is not being respectful of the African Americans and the legacy of the African American community in the political arena. You're really seeing that now begin to emerge with regards to the Hennepin County seat. You got one Somali gentleman, he's getting ready to run for the 6th time for office. We used to have a white guy here in Minnesota. He ran, I think, 32 times in 20 years for different political offices. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. But, you know, phone lines are open. Like I said, I know it's going to be tough for any calls because people are, you know, watching the basketball, if you will. By the way, an article just came out. LeBron James, one of the top 10 richest athletes, the richest is Floyd Mayweather, $285 million he's worth. LeBron is worth $85.5 million, which I think is pretty nice. But, yeah, so, you know, again, the phone lines are open. We're trying to get a feel for what things look like as we go into the summer. By the way, and I can't go into significant detail because of confidentiality, but we have two homicide victims were just found in North Minneapolis. You know, the official pronouncement will probably be made by the coroner tomorrow. They were found dead in a home, if you will. So a lot of conversation going on right now about those two deaths in North Minneapolis as we speak. So just wanted to get that out there for the folks that are, you know, enjoying the basketball and et cetera. So what else we got, Don? We got the trade war. Donald Trump, geez, he's really kicked off the Mexicans down in Mexico. Can you believe that? Mexico imposing tariffs on the United States goods. So how do you see that? How do you see that?
Well, I think it's a political ball game. They're tossing the football back and forth to see who could be the most damning. I mean, in reality, I think Donald Trump is doing a lot of good, but the Democrats want to focus on the negative that he's doing, which he's doing a little bit of both, and they don't want to give him any credit for the good stuff, like the clemency for the sister that. You know, Kim Kardashian and her husband, Kanye West, go to the White House. They talk with President Trump. President Trump grants clemency to this Johnson, Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it starts with an A. Elsie or something. But yeah, his last name is Johnson.
Alice is her name, yeah. And so they release her, and, you know, he grants her clemency, and. You know, there's nothing. There's not.
Well,
peace.
Not quite total. Not a total pardon. He took a level just below that. But she's supposed to be released. So, but we hope so. She's been in the penitentiary 21 years. So.
Yeah, long enough.
21 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For basically nothing, just being a middle person.
Yeah. Well, it was drug dealing. It wasn't in it there, but it was drug dealing, and now they're saying that. Prosecutor out there in California did her in and et cetera. She was a first-time offender, which was really surprising. And a mother at that time, she's grandmother now, got life in prison. You know, she's been in there 21 years. She's, 63 years of age. Yeah, Don, you know, Donald Trump has done some of those things. The citizens will have to weigh that. They'll have to weigh how they, you know, handle that, what weight they give to it, and et cetera. But that's really what it's all about. You know, but we got a lot of things going on in the country. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm just saying, speaking on this clemency piece, it's really funny, Mr. Edwards, how the mainstream liberal Fourth Estate reports it, okay? Now, in one of the paragraphs in several clemency stories, it says there are currently 9,000 clemency petitions left over from the ramp-up of an application that occurred under the Obama administration. And this is according to St. Thomas, I'm reading right from the story, law professor Mark Olson. The Trump administration has done little to clear the backlog. So if there was 9,000 or almost 9,000 when he got there, is it really his backlog? And how many? I know President Obama did a few, but now they're putting it on that it's Trump's backlog.
Well,
that's
actually, it would go back to Bush, too, because Bush, too, set that in place. So Bush, too,
but
and Obama came along. I think Bush, too, did, I don't know, 9,000 and Barack Obama did about 8,000, so we'll see. But go ahead. Your point.
No, my point was that they put it back on his shoulder like it was, you know, he's not doing anything. You know, after 500 days in office, he's still not doing anything. So I'm just looking at that. And I'm really tired. I watch very little news except for what's going on in the background here. I got CNN. I got CNN on, and so I don't know why that did that. The British lady just came on and said we had 90 seconds, which is incorrect.
90 seconds on what, the program? We just got started.
The program, yeah, I know. So, yeah, we're
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it.
I heard it through.
What band did she come on?
No, I just heard it through the headphones. Did you hear that?
Oh, I didn't hear it. Yeah.
Okay.
So
we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I doubt very much.
So,
90 seconds, if you will. What's your take then, Don? You know, this is Don Allen on the right, and I'm Ron Edwards on the left. So what's your take about the immigration thing and the policy of taking the little babies and et cetera from their from their mummies, from their mommies and daddies.
Well,
I don't think
I don't think that should be happening. I think that is wrong. I mean, it's morally and it's not Christian-like at all whatsoever. And I don't think that that should happen. But I know it is, but it was happening long before Trump was in office. Also. I mean, let's look at this for what it is.
You mean taking babies away from the mothers? Is that right? Oh, okay. I didn't know about that. Now I know that they separate families. I know they were separating babies and tearing them away from the mothers. But if that's out there, give us a point of reference on that.
I mean, is this new? I mean, did this just start this year or something? Where babies were immigrants and families were broken up?
Where I was trying to meet you, that happened during slavery. So we can go back 200 years. I mean, they used to, taking babies 2 and 3 years old, a year old, and et cetera, out of the arms of their mothers is nothing new in this country. So I don't all this, crying that's going on both to the left and the right. People tend to forget their history, which is very convenient. I repeat that again. In this country, even after slavery, after the Emancipation Proclamation, they still separate the Negro families. So I'm just trying to get a feel on just what the thinking is, because what Donald Trump has done is just taken a page out of America's history book 200 years ago. Phone lines are open, though. Phone lines are open. We'll see if we get anybody from the international scene and et cetera. But it is a heck of a debate that is going on here in the United States, particularly amongst the pro-immigration forces, if you will. They don't seem, Don, they don't seem to have any actual facilities to care for these babies. I mean, I was reading a report where a baby 53 weeks old, showed up in court, was brought into court, obviously, by a caseworker or someone, with no legal representation to talk in terms of where that 53-week-old Latino baby was going to be placed. And I'm like, wow. But again, like I said, as a historian, this is not new in America. America has done this to people of color since time immemorial. So, but again, phone lines are open. I'd like to hear the observations of people with regards to the immigration situation, if you will, because there seems to be a lot of frustration and anger. And what's the queue look like?
I have nobody in the queue, which is really unusual.
Okay, so they're watching.
Yeah, I have no one in the
queue. I'm getting a call in. Again, we're in good shape on the air. Is that correct?
It looks like it. I mean, I'm looking at the switchboard right here. We seem to be connected. Nothing's unusual.
Okay. Well, for the person
calling me,
I would ask them to just give us a text message if we're having some kind of transmission problems. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would reset it. But I hear you. You hear me. The lights are all on. So. The music plays. Let me see. Yep. The music plays. Everything. Yeah, it's on.
Yeah. Okay.
And it says
so
recorded.
So, anyways, we've got a lot of people running for, like I said, the county board. What do you think was the driving issue as it pertains to Congressman Keith Ellison making the decision to relinquish his seat and run for attorney general? What's your thinking on that?
I'm baffled by that because he could have been the congressman and get reelected prior for the next 5-6 terms, unless he did something really crazy. I just think he had that locked in. So there must have been some kind of change in the construct of the DFL that said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change this up. We're going to pull this back from these Republicans. It's not even Republicans holding the seat. They're Democrats basically leaving the seat. Omar to Ellison, Bobby Joe trying to get Ellison, and Ellison going, for the AG seat. And so I don't know. I mean, it's a risk because you don't know what's going to happen, but I can't figure out the motivation. I mean, he must obviously know something that us common folks don't, because he's doing it. He's
yeah,
there. He filed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if he
loses they all
in the
filed,
river,
yesterday before the deadline. Yeah, I'm like, wow, look at all these people running. The only one that's safe to the extent of not exposing if they are currently holding a seat is Bobby Joe, and I guess Keith Ellison's ex-wife. That's how the media has been portraying her all day long, his ex-wife. You know, we're not doing that here on the Ron and Don program out of any disrespect, but that's how she's being referred to. I don't think that her seat is up on the school board. In fact, I think it was last year that she ran to preserve her incumbency and et cetera. But a lot of the folks out there, you know, like I said, they are either former office holders or et cetera. And I really don't know who the Republicans are going to put up as a candidate in the 5th Congressional District that could defeat half of them people. But it's just interesting. Now, the county board is going to be the one, because you've never had an African-American on the county board. So, again, our friends in Ramsey County across the river, city of St. Paul, county seat, have had a African-American. In fact, the mother of the first black mayor of the city of St. Paul has been on the in fact, I think that Ms. Carter is in her second term. Am I not correct?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah. Yeah, call it up on your computer there. Yeah, I think she's in her second term. So, Hennepin County, where Minneapolis is the county seat, has never had a African-American. In fact, it really never had an African-American really challenge any of the seven county districts. There is an African-American woman running against OPAT, I do believe, out in the, whatever the district is, out in the north suburbs, Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Robbinsdale, you know, places like that. So, but they don't have much time, Don. All these people running didn't set the clock, if you will. They really don't have much time, because they're all going to have to go into a primary, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, and the primary is going
to
be telling.
Yeah, they're all going to have to go into a primary, and out of that will come the prime contender, unless somebody can find a way to get themselves on the ballot as an independent or Green Party or socialist or whatever. Some of those parties don't have that kind of standing because they didn't meet the requirements with regards to the number or percentage of votes. So this could be interesting. We could be talking about this by saying something, you know, we've been saying for quite some time, is that everyone is talking about the great prosperity. And you made a point of talking in terms of the article in yesterday's edition of the largest paper in the state, Manhattan Star Tribune, indicating what Mr. Tuttle's job is supposed to do. I concur. Based on all of the goody-goodies and rhetoric that I've heard over the years, I just thought everything was in place in the county.
Yeah. I thought, you know, they had, you know, the nice pretty brochures with all the graphs and the charts and, you know, that this and that was going on, that all this stuff was beautiful and who they were serving.
Well, but just moving
like,
it on,
wow.
Just trying to move it on for discussion purposes and et cetera, because there's been so much news. Don, we talked briefly off the air a couple weeks ago of these attacks on the educators, school teachers, particularly this thing at Harrison. What are you hearing? What are you picking up on what happened over there at Harrison, and what kind of intimidation and pressure was brought to bear by the district, if you will? Any observations you're hearing?
Yeah, that's a tough level 4 school from what I understand. I've never worked there, but I have worked at level 4 schools before, and I understand the clientele that is in there, and there are a lot of our kids, the kids that look like us. And I'm not saying treat them like victims or anything, but they do have some serious anger issues, and they're liable to knock someone out, a teacher, or do something very violent without thinking it, because no one ahead, before they even got there, is teaching them life skills or interpersonal skills, and so that's a huge problem. And so you have these level four schools where the teachers in the mainstream say, hey, you know, he's unteachable or she's unteachable here. And they put that same behavior and mentality into the level four school. And those teachers that have to deal with that day in and day out are dealing with some really tough stuff, you know. And, I mean, I don't envy them at all. And, I mean, I was in level four school out on Wright Street and Highway 36. And my first day I walk in and I'm talking to the class and I didn't have much problems out of them. But when the Caucasian teaching assistant came in, the little brothers got excited, and one of them says, hey, I'm going to bend you over the desk and do things to you. That's not what he said. I can't really say, repeat what he said.
Right, right. Well,
they just kind of looked, and she looked and looked back and kind of shrugged it off. I said, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. Because that's what they expect.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's going on.
Yeah,
it's a tough sell, but. You know,
well, what do you think about
and,
the political bent of the little neo-Nazi? I can say that, so it may get you into trouble per se. But this kid, 18 years old, boy, he's one piece of work. But what do you think about the African Americans that have quietly been saying, and actually some of them spoke with the judge and told the judge that this kid was infringed on, and in fact. Two specific items that the portfolio on him, the analysis on him, said that he didn't like for people to cram his space and put their hands on him, and so that the two African-American men who were the second and third that were beaten by this kid in a two-and-a-half-week period of time, that they had it coming, and I was shocked when I heard this back and forth. There was, I guess, some you know, stuff going on social media and et cetera, back and forth got pretty ugly with regards to some of the African American leadership saying that well, you know, these two African American men, one of them, by the way, an elected public official, a member of the Minneapolis Park Board, just elected this past November, Mr. French. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you've seen him in the educational circles. And then, of course, Mr. Mohamed Dukli, who was almost killed, if you will. So are you hearing anything? I mean, is anybody saying anything about the action of this young man, Barfield, was justifiable?
Well, Mr. Edwards, as you already know, I'm the only black teacher in the school I work in, and the general consensus is that, you know, this kid should be locked up forever, and they should throw him to the lions and do all this other stuff. But this is not coming out of justice for the man that he beat. This is coming out of for his skin color, hate against his skin color and who he, you know, and so. The victim, not the perpetrator. Now, the white guy, I don't hear them really talking as if he's bad. I hear them talking as if he needs some help.
That's
okay?
What I'm hearing, John,
that he might have been provoked.
Personal conversations. Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that, particularly in that Ms. Dukley, it only has one operational arm, if you will, and hand. And I won't go into it unless someone calls and really wants to press it over the air. But like I said, you know, folks watching basketball and trying to hope stuff goes away. I was told that some of our leadership had seen the video, that the video had been provided to them by the district. But on the other hand, they're telling folks, the district is saying that you can't talk about any aspect of this because of confidentiality and age and et cetera. And so I'm just trying to figure out at what point is it okay and isn't it okay? Also, I was shocked to hear the head of security for the Mass Public Schools told some white police officers that the Negroes got what they deserved because they got in this kid's space. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, junk, I'm hearing from people that, you know, are supposed to be very positive and representable and blah, blah, blah. So I noticed very quickly in our community, because we haven't been on the air with our phone lines open for about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I noticed folks stopped getting, you know, on the issue right quick. And I'm saying, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Mr. Dukley, who is a member, prestigious and respected member of the